Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at groundwater issues and well water. You know, testing of well water, I think, is a very important thing. And a lot of people here in the state, not everybody, but lots of people, are on private wells. And matter of fact, I've spent probably better than half my life living in one place or another where we had private wells, and we always had our well water tested, most of the time with good results, some of the time with not such good results. So that's one reason I'm happy to have our two guests with us today. Lisa Lehman, private water section chief with the DNR Drinking Water and Groundwater Program. And Lisa, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to be here. And, you know, there's almost a million private wells in the state of Wisconsin. About one-fourth of our citizens get their drinking water from it. So it's really important that people understand where their water comes from and that they know how to take care of their well and how to test for the drinking water.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are things we're going to cover today. Kevin Masaryk is the outreach specialist at the Center for Watershed Science and Education at UW-Stevens Point, and UW-Stevens Point has some great people and doing some really great work in this area. And we've been fortunate to have a variety of people through the years, and great to have Kevin back. Kevin, is about a year ago you were on, I think.
Great to be back.
Great to have you here. We've got, as Lisa says, we've got about a million private wells, and what's your take on the situation with our wells?
The vast majority of private wells in Wisconsin are producing water of good quality for drinking. You know, oftentimes there might be something slightly aesthetically wrong with the water, maybe some taste, color, or odor issues.
Yeah.
And those are naturally occurring problems. Unfortunately, though, there are a number of wells that upon testing, somebody will find out that maybe there's some bacteria in the water. Maybe the nitrate is above where we like to see it. Maybe there's a little bit of arsenic. So the only way to know sometimes whether or not the water is of good quality for drinking and cooking is to have it tested. And that's some of the things that we'd like to be able to answer questions about today.
And speaking of that, if you have a question for our guests today, Lisa Lehman and Kevin Masaryk, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Maybe you have some concerns about the quality of your drinking water, or maybe you've recently gotten a water test. Love to hear about your experiences and certainly, of course, your questions as well. There are, I guess, a variety of tests that people can take for their water.
Sure, there's lots of sampling and analysis that can be done in your drinking water. Probably the most important one for people to test regularly is for bacteria. If you have bacteria in your drinking water, that can make you sick right away. It can make your whole family sick. So there's a very simple test that can be done to analyze if you have bacteria in your water or not. Another common one that's important in Wisconsin is nitrates. And that's fairly common in our drinking water. And if it's in there at high levels, it can have some long-term health effects.
So definitely something to test for. And how do we test for it? And where do we go for testing?
There's literally dozens of certified testing labs around the state. If someone is interested in having their water sample, probably the easiest thing to direct them to would be the DNR's What's Wrong With My Water webpage. On that, there's a link to all the state certified labs that will do bacteria, that will do nitrate. If there's additional concerns beyond that, they can locate the labs there as well.
Yeah, that's a really good site. I think we have it up on our Facebook page, at least a link to it, so people can get to it if they would like to do it that way. It's there to do.
Yeah, that's great. One of the tools that's available on that What's Wrong With My Water is it helps you to think specifically about whether there's an unusual smell or taste or appearance to your water and what might be causing that. And so it kind of helps give you some clues about what you might want to test for or what contamination might have happened to your well.
Well, no surprise to me. Well, every one of our phone lines is already full. The number is 1-800-642-1234. If you don't get in, you could also post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mailer Show, or you can email us as well at talk@wpr.org. Josh in Adams has a question for you, so let's go there. Josh, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me. Yeah, we built the home 10 years ago and had our well water tested. I think we're somewhere around 20, 25 foot deep, but they said our water was perfect at the time, but they did tell me that we should have it checked again at some point, but I don't remember that time frame of how long or how often you should have it checked.
All right, good question.
The recommendation from DNR is to test your well annually every year, particularly for bacteria. Now, depending on the time of year that you test it, you might not catch bacteria or things that could be in the well temporarily, but once a year is a good recommendation.
And if you're going to pick a time of the year, then when would you do it? Would you do it like late summer or in the summer?
It really depends on where you're located in the state.
Okay.
I would say that for most private well owners, annually would be adequate. Maybe one year you test in summer, the next year you test in fall.
Okay.
But for other people that live in areas of eastern Wisconsin or areas where the soils are relatively thin or shallow until you hit some sort of fractured bedrock, in those areas it might be better to test a little bit more often, just to understand how water quality might be varying throughout the year, to understand kind of water quality and the safety of your water during the course of the year versus just that snapshot in time.
And what are we talking about in terms of cost here? It's going to vary a little bit, I'm sure. But
depending on the lab, if you're testing for kind of the recommended things, like Lisa mentioned, bacteria, yeah, nitrate, that's going to run anywhere between $30 and maybe $50 for most labs. The majority of labs are going to be very similar in terms of what those tests are going to cost.
So pretty cheap insurance.
You can also do the sampling yourself. You can hire a professional to help you if you're not sure, but you can sample the water yourself. Depending on what you're testing for, most of the time you're going to test, draw water from the sample tap that's right where the well water comes into your house. And that will tell you what the quality of the groundwater. If you have any concerns about the plumbing, then you might separately want to test your water coming out of a tap.
You're always going to want to request a test kit from a certified lab first, though, because some of those, especially bacteria, require is a sterile vessel.
Yeah.
So each lab is going to have their own container that you're going to want to have on hand, as opposed to filling up any sort of random container and taking it in. They'll make you do it over. So always contact a lab first.
All right. There we go. Thanks for that question. Chris in Viroqua, your turn. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a concern about contamination of our well water. We are in a rural area, and there are a lot of farmers in our area that, because of religious convictions and beliefs, they do not have plumbing. And so they don't have septic systems, and I think that some of them do have wells, but the main concern is the human and animal waste that is being leached into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Our well is over 400 feet deep, so I think that it'll be a few years. I'm hoping it'll be a few years before we have to be concerned about that contamination, but... I think it's coming.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Comments?
Chris, what part of the state do you live in?
Viroqua.
Oh, Viroqua. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because depending on what your soils and your geology are like in the area where you live, the ground and the soils can attenuate or can address some of materials that might be coming into the soil or into the groundwater from your neighbor's property. But the best recommendation that I could give you is to test your own well so that you know what kind of quality you have, and then be aware and just keep awareness for any changes in the taste or appearance or odor of your water that might suggest that there's some contamination.
Yeah.
I always tell people, anytime we do anything on the land surface, we have to be careful about how we do it so that we're aware that it might be contaminating our water. So we always work with farmers and homeowners to help them understand just, you know, what those consequences are if they were to, you know, over-apply or, you know, not maintain their septic system. And even applying at optimal rates a fertilizer, we have to expect some amount of nitrate leaching into the groundwater as a result of those activities. But it's important people be aware of those consequences and be as careful as possible.
So Chris ought to be testing for sure every year, would think. Yeah, there you go. Chris, thanks. Appreciate your call. And Melissa in Eagle River, it's your turn. Hi, Melissa. You know what?
Melissa,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Okay. My husband and I live in an apartment, and we're in the country, not far out from the city. But when it rains, the kitchen water smells just awful, and it's actually yellow. And I've done laundry after raining and stuff, and I had a whole bunch of whites in there one day, and it came out all yellow, and I had to throw some of that stuff away. And I was just wondering, I'm pretty sure my husband said that the well here is only 4 feet, maybe five. Is that
usual? That would be really, really shallow. I hope it's not.
Yeah, that would be a pretty shallow well. That's too shallow for any regulations that we've had over the years in Wisconsin for how deep a well should be constructed. And so that's not going to be deep enough to protect it from any kind of contamination that could come in on the surface. For sure, if you notice that change in color in your water, don't drink it. Don't use it for laundry until you have a chance to have it tested and perhaps have that contamination cleared.
So she should probably, Melissa and her husband should probably have a test kit. I'd order one and have it ready to go. Is that an appropriate way to...
Yeah, that would be a good recommend. If people have concerns about water quality, especially due to specific circumstances after rain events, let's say, best to have those on hand so that you don't have to wait to obtain that test kit. Test when you are most concerned. I would just add that, you know...
Where would I order that testing?
I would encourage you to maybe contact your local health department. If you don't have internet access, maybe contact your local health department or local extension office, and they would be able to provide you with maybe a local lab or a list of labs that you could call to obtain that test kit.
If you do have access to the internet, then you can, the DNR site, actually on our Facebook page, but where do you go for
it? The DNR website is real simple, dnr.wi.gov, and there's a search box right on that homepage. You can search for a certified lab, and you'll find a list of labs all over the state, and then you can find one that's in your area.
Even easier is to go online and just search for what's wrong with my water, and the DNR webpage is the first link that should pop up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So what's wrong with my water is pretty easy.
Type that in.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds great.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And let's go take this a step further. Suppose, now these folks, it sounds like Melissa and her husband are renting. Now, let's say there are serious issues. Now, does she take that to the landlord? Or what do you do if you need to complain?
Sure. If you're in a rental situation, certainly you want to take that up with your landlord. You know, if that's part of the contract, you know, that they're providing you the plumbing and the drinking water, and you want to take that up with them as far as who should do the testing, whether the well maybe needs to be inspected to see if it's, you know, functioning properly and if it was constructed properly. That's definitely, you know, there can be some costs associated with it. So if you're in a rental situation, it would be good to try to get some help from the landlord.
Yeah. Talking about well water today and testing and our groundwater supplies with our two guests, Kevin Masaryk, outreach specialist at the Center for Watershed Science and Education at UW-Stevens Point. Lisa Lehman is the private water section chief for the Bureau of Drinking Water and Groundwater at our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are visiting about wells and well water with our two guests, Kevin Masaryk and Lisa Lehman. Christina in Madison has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Christina. Thanks for calling.
Hi. My question was about the disappearing lakes, specifically like around Washara County. I know in Plainfield, Long Lake is disappearing. I was wondering if wells around that area were impacted and why that's occurring.
Yeah, you have a comment on that one, Kevin?
There's been a number of research projects over the last couple of years, probably the last decade or so, when the issue was first raised, that have investigated this. And through groundwater modeling, you know, the models have showed that the cumulative impact of all the, you know, high capacity wells for irrigation and for municipalities, we know that when you pump a well, that reduces the amount that's going to end up flowing to a lake, a river, a stream. And in most cases, that might be negligible. It might not have an impact. But the combined impact of all those wells, I think the models suggest they've likely reduced the water table by about 4 to 5 feet, which 4 to 5 feet doesn't sound like a lot unless you're on a lake, which might only be 10 feet or 15 feet deep. Then it represents a pretty sizable drop. So I do think that, you know, there's plenty of research to show that the combined effect of all those things is having some impact, and the question from here is how do you manage that? How do you ensure that people have adequate water for irrigation, but lake owners, you know, people that enjoy lakes and live along lakes, still have the opportunity to enjoy those resources?
Yeah, it's in other states, probably even in a lot worse shape than our state is. California comes to mind.
Certainly, the news out in California, it's fortunate that we're not out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Christina, thanks. Appreciate the call. Kurt in Grand Marsh, your turn. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, good morning. I just recently got my water tested, and my nitrate levels were quite high, 16.5. And I was wondering about the long-term health consequences of high nitrate level and what to do to
remediate it. Okay, good questions. Thanks for calling, Kurt. And Lisa, do you want to take that?
Sure, I can get started. I'm not a health expert, but certainly we know that the maximum contaminant level for nitrate that's been set by the EPA is 10 milligrams per liter. So if your drinking water is higher than that, it's you definitely don't want infants under 6 months of age, or women who are or may become pregnant should not drink that water. That can have some short-term effects. Some of the long-term effects are related to, you know, it's mostly going to affect individuals who are either immunocompromised or have some other health issues that it can cause some more long-term effects. So if you're drinking in the short term, it shouldn't be a concern, but if you're drinking it over a lifetime, it could have some more serious effects.
And the thing about nitrate is that, you know, it's a common test. It's one that we recommend to pretty much every well owner. And if it's elevated, that's a great indication of other potential contaminants. If the source of the nitrate is agricultural related, then maybe there's an increased likelihood of pesticides in the water. If the source of the nitrate is a suspected septic system, then you might assume that anything being sent down somebody's septic system could also be showing up in the water. So because nitrate is kind of an inexpensive test, relatively speaking, and it's one that's easy to do, we use that as an opportunity to learn about what other potential contaminants might be in somebody's well.
So Kurt might follow up, if he hasn't done so already, with a bacteria test, or is
test that... Test for both, maybe test again and see if there's some other things to be concerned about. I would also recommend, you know, if he wants to know more about health effects, DNR has a brochure about nitrates in drinking water, and our State Department of Health Services also, and the local public health department can give some advice.
Are there filters?
Reverse osmosis the only way to correct it?
I'm sorry?
Is reverse osmosis system the only way to correct the situation?
It's not the only way to correct it. There's reverse osmosis is definitely one.
What is that process?
It's a type of membrane that basically allows water to pass through, but it keeps the nitrate out.
Okay.
Most reverse osmosis systems will also be kind of installed in line with a particle filter and a carbon filter.
Okay.
So in addition to removing nitrate, The other filters have some capacity to remove other unwanted chemicals like pesticides or maybe pharmaceuticals, in addition to all sorts of other things in the water. So reverse osmosis definitely tends to be one of the more popular. It's going to be a point of use device, so you're not treating all the water that goes through the house typically. You're just treating the water used for drinking and cooking. So a couple gallons per day is going to be adequate for most people. In addition, you know, other treatment options would be distillation or anion exchange, but I'd say those are just less common, mainly, I think, out of convenience or in some cases cost.
Hmm. So there you go, Kurt. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And, of course, it would be great just to be able to get rid of the nitrate.
And the ideal solution is to eliminate the contamination source. But we know just based on how slow groundwater moves that even if you were successful at eliminating the contamination source, it might take years or even decades to notice any discernible change in your nitrate concentration.
Kathy in Manawa has something for us. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. This is a reverse osmosis question as well. I do have nitrate levels not as high as the gentleman before me, but mine are 7.7. And I know that it says, you know, that over 10 is a hazard to drink. But even 7.7 to me seems higher than some other people that live less than a mile away from me because I have a farm field directly behind me. Should I be concerned about even the 7.7 and get reverse osmosis for that level?
You know, at 7.7, I think it's something to be aware of and to keep an eye on. So check again maybe in 6 months or a year just to make sure that level isn't continuing to increase over time. But certainly there's a number of community water systems that are, you know, that high of a level that people are drinking, and we don't see any adverse health effects based on those types of levels. I've even tested different bottled waters that have come back, you know, in the neighborhood of 5 or 6 milligrams per liter of nitrate. So just know that those types of levels are very common, and we consider them to be generally reasonably acceptable in terms of health, but definitely you want to make sure it's not increasing over time.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. And if I were to purchase a reverse osmosis system, is that something that's readily available in stores, or is that something that I have to have a professional install?
You're going to want, my recommendation is to have a licensed plumber install that piece of equipment. There's certain specifications for pressure in order for that device to be working properly. You want to make sure it's plumbed properly. And we always recommend people choose a device that's been approved for sale in the state of Wisconsin. And that list of approved devices can be found on the What's Wrong With My Water website, where it shows under what conditions that device was tested. So, you know, how high of a nitrate concentration do you have versus how high is this device approved to treat? So that gives some added insurance for folks to know that when they purchase the device, it's going to do what they want it to do.
Yeah.
Right. For my area.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And most treatment suppliers, most plumbers, if you ask them, they'll be able to provide you with a list of approved devices that they have for sale.
And what, you know, and again, is there any ideas to cost on something like that? Of course, it's obviously it's going to vary depending where you are. But the system itself, a couple $100? I have no idea.
I think it may be a little higher than that. I don't have a good sense of that.
There was one research summary out of Minnesota that I think suggested between like $400 and $800 is a typical range depending on how much water you're looking to treat and if you're adding any bells or whistles to that system.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy, for calling. Appreciate it. And we have Rosie in Woodruff up next. Hi, Rosie. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Before my question, I just wanted to say that I've had some ongoing issues with a new well that was dug for a couple of years now. And the state lab, Wisconsin State Lab of Hygiene in Madison,
yes,
has been a savior for me in that, you know, they'll send you the testing kit. And not only that, I have kind of a complicated situation, so they're very good about helping with the results and talking to you about what's going on. And I just want to say that you get objective information as opposed to some people that are sending you testing kits may have an agenda about selling you equipment to solve the problem. So anybody who feels a little uncomfortable about that, I just want to give a shout out to the state hygiene lab. Great people. My question is about iron bacteria, which I've had a well for 20 years, no issues with precipitated iron or iron bacteria, and the pump actually broke in the well, rendering it useless. They couldn't get it out, so I had to get a new well drilled, unfortunately. And since then, I've had iron bacteria, which I know is an aesthetic thing, but it was, you know, levels of over 600, so needed to be dealt with shock chlorinations and so forth. Because of water quality in the house was kind of rendered it unusable, as well as the manganese issue that goes along with that, which I guess is a health risk. And my question is, I've had to rechlorinate shock chlorination twice, and after having had a chemical scrub, and I wondered if one of your people could talk about the sort of outlook. Is this going to be a forever problem or something that, in their experience, once you've got it, you can't get rid of it? If anybody could speak to that, or should I expect to have to do this once a year going forward?
For folks that might be unfamiliar with iron bacteria, it is a very common problem in areas where there's iron in the water. It's a type of bacteria that thrives in water with elevated amounts of iron. So it's actually pretty common. The unfortunate news, there's no health effects associated with this specific type of bacteria, so I just want to point that out. It can be a nuisance. It's aesthetically unpleasant. The unfortunate news is that once it's in a well, it's very difficult to completely eradicate. So often the advice is exactly what you've mentioned, periodic shock chlorination. There's sometimes more aggressive procedures that involve salts that desiccate the bacteria and allow the bleach or the disinfectant to penetrate deeper. But you just kind of got to play it by ear. After a procedure, wait, and then until you notice the problem developing again. And then you're going to have to probably repeat that procedure every so often to help control it. If you let it go too long and it gets out of control, that's where the problems become really evident. So if anybody's dealing with iron bacteria, there's a great brochure from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I believe it's Iron Bacteria in Drinking Water Wells. That kind of outlines what the problem and the issue is and how to help control it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. And, yeah, it's not anything anybody really wants to deal with. I mean, you don't... And here's poor Rosie. She had a perfectly good well, digs another one, probably not that far from the first one.
Yeah, and that's one important message we want to get across, is that anybody that has a private well, whether you know it or not, you're kind of your own water utility manager. And it's up to you to determine, you know, what's in your water, assess that risk, and then determine whether or not you want to take corrective action. Because there's really nobody that's going to follow up with you if there's something wrong. It's up to the individual homeowner to determine the safety and the quality of the water that they're going to be drinking or using on a daily basis.
Lee in Green Bay has a question for us. Lee, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. My question would be, other than the three tests, nitrate, bacteria, arsenic, I just spoke with a lady yesterday down at the lab in Madison, and she's going to send me some information. Does it pay also to have your water tested a little further, like for the mineral breakdown with this cover, like where I live, there's farming, and I'm concerned with atrazine. Does it pay to have it a little bit more tested?
That's a great question, Lee. Definitely, it's good for any private well owner to look at what's going on in your neighborhood, look at what's going on in your landscape, and use that to think about what could potentially be getting in the groundwater and affecting your well. So there's a pesticide screen that's available if you live in an agricultural area that will get it, atrazine and other things that could be in pesticides. So that's a good common test that a lot of people choose to do if they live in an agricultural area.
Sometimes I recommend, you know, using nitrate as a guide in terms of follow-up testing. So if your nitrate level is elevated, you know, typical background levels of nitrate in groundwater, we'd expect to be less than one or so. So if we see them, you know, 2, 3, especially if they're above 10, maybe that's some added incentive to follow up with a pesticide analysis. If people are looking for ways to determine what those next tests are or what those next steps are, that might be a good guide for folks.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Lee, for calling. And a Facebook question from Tim, who says, I have a well, and when the water comes out of the tap, it's unbelievably fizzy. Is this a problem? Or what? How... Why is it a problem, typically?
Yeah, water is a universal solvent, so it likes to dissolve stuff. One of those things being certain gases. So I suspect one thing that might be happening is that this water has a lot of dissolved gas, and just like when you open up a bottle of Coke, some of that gas fizzes out. And temperature can play an important role in that. Warmer water tends to hold less gas. So as water warms, it's going to start to degas. Also aerators. If he's got any aerators installed, which is very common on new faucets, that could stir up and cause that type of bubbling or fizzing action.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think it's anything to be overly concerned about, but if he's curious, he might want to follow up with a water test if he hasn't done that in a while.
Mm-hmm. And Matt in Holman, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, I'm wondering actually about codes more than the testing. We did have our water tested, and it had bacteria in it, and we had a well driller out, and he said he wouldn't do our chlorination because it wasn't up to code. And now we've found we've had three people out, and they all disagree about what the code is. And so I'm wondering, who is the final authority on the code, and can we get a written report from them?
Lisa, comment?
Sure, I can answer that. The state of Wisconsin has a well construction and pump installation code. It's called NR812. And DNR, my program, is responsible for implementing that code and making sure that all well drillers and pump installers are trained in the requirements. It does have sampling requirements for when a new well is constructed or when pump work is done. And there is an obligation if the bacterial test comes back unsafe after the first time after wells constructed, the driller is responsible to come back and do whatever corrective action is needed. Now, I don't know about the details of your situation, but you could contact your local private water specialist for DNR in your area. And if you're not sure where that is, you can look it up on the DNR website and do a search in our staff directory for private water, and then talk to them about your particular situation. We can help you figure out what the code requirements are that would apply to your situation.
There we go. Thanks a lot for calling, Matt. Appreciate it. And Mike in Racine, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. Hey, I was just a little bit frustrated by an answer earlier in the session here where some people called in and they were concerned about, among other things, not using their words, but they were concerned about outhouses and
yeah,
the location of those outhouses. And I just wanted to point out and get a response from your guests about, you know, what I haven't heard a lot of discussion on yet is the location and what the importance of the location of your wells are. I think you just started to touch it obliquely by talking about codes and that you are your own water manager. But I guess I'm concerned that we're not pointing out that, you know, the most likely source of contamination from human waste is not going to be your neighbor if you're out in the country and you're on country water and country sewer, i.e. your own septic system, is that it's most likely your own septic system that's going to be contaminating your well. Mm-hmm. There are other considerations, you know, are you downhill And are, you know, is there heavy rain events that are bringing top water drainage from your neighbors onto your property, things like that? But, you know, first look to yourself if you're concerned about septic considerations.
Yeah.
Kevin, I appreciate you bringing, or excuse me, Mike, I appreciate you bringing that up. In the state's well construction code, when a new well is constructed, there are setbacks or separation distances that are required from different potential contamination sources, and a septic system and a septic drain field is one of those. Those separation distances have changed in the code over time as we've learned more about the potential for those different things to cause a potential contamination to a well. So you're absolutely right. That's if somebody has a concern, they're identifying bacteria in their well from doing some testing. The septic system, you know, if that's not constructed properly or operating properly, that could be a source.
Yeah. I would just add, you know, I think you're right, Mike, that in traditional rural development, if your well is being contaminated by a septic system, it's likely your own. But we have to keep in mind that development nowadays has created a situation where there's septic systems and private wells on smaller and smaller lot sizes. And we do have research to suggest that in those densely developed subdivisions that upgradient neighbors' septic systems are affecting their neighbors' private well water. So I just point that out because it is something to be aware of if anybody's located in one of those situations where you're on a 2-acre or less lot size and all your neighbors are on septic systems and private wells.
Thanks again for calling. I appreciate it. You know, there's an event coming up in August that gives people the chance to get their water tested for free. Kevin, and you're involved in that one. It's nitrate screening at Farm Technology Days.
Yeah, it's a great event. We do it every year with UW Extension and the Progress Pavilion. Anybody attending that event, if they bring a sample of water in any clean container, for this particular test, we'd be able to screen it for nitrate on the spot and be able to offer, you know, kind of an idea of their result and then give recommendations for what they might do from there.
So what, about a cup of water or thereabouts?
About a cup of water would be perfect. No more. We don't want people carrying around jugs of water all day. So a cup is just fine.
And Wisconsin, you know, of course, Farm Technology Days, used to be Farm Progress Days, it used to be called, is held around the state at different points. Every year it's in a different spot. And this year it's in the Sun Prairie area. And I think if you just go Farm Technology Days, it's going to pop right up.
You're going to find it. Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot about it. And it's August 25th through August 27th. So a Tuesday through a Thursday at the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days in Sun Prairie. Well, I have lots of questions we didn't get to, but we covered a lot. And I want to thank you both for being with us today. And hopefully we'll have a chance to do this again sooner than later. Thank you so much.
Larry. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Kevin Masaryk, Outreach Specialist in Extension for the Center for Watershed Science and Education at UW-Stevens Point, and Lisa Lehman. She's the chief. She's the section chief, private water section chief for the Bureau of Drinking Water and Groundwater at our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Again, questions, go to the DNR website, and if you type in "What's wrong with our well water?" What's wrong with my water? You're going to get some really good information from the Department of Natural Resources. And with that, we're going to stay talking about water, but we're going to talk about lake water, maybe, and river water and stream water that contain fish. And I know a guy who catches a lot of fish every year. His name is Gary Engberg, professional tournament angler. He's a fishing guide and a really avid outdoorsman. I'm going to have some fun talking with him about catching fish. And if you've got a good fish story, I always like a good fish story. I hope you'll join in as well here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.